Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles, including the latest version of the OMA obesity algorithm. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Wickham Simons about food sources of fructose-containing sugars and glycemic control. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Today, we are fortunate to have Dr. Wickham Simons. Wickham, good to have you here today.
Harold, thank you for having me here today.
Why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Well, as Harold said, my name is Wickham Simons. I'm an obesity medicine specialist in the Triangle region of North Carolina. I have two clinics there and a solo private practice. I've been practicing obesity medicine for 15 years. I've treated about 30,000 patients in that 15 years, and I'm a board trustee here at the Obesity Medicine Association, a longtime member of the organization, which is how I came to know you, Dr. Bays, and thanks again for inviting me on to do this podcast.
Oh, no, this is, I think you're the perfect person for the program we got today. And, you know, I always like to say another really nice thing to have you here. It's always nice to have somebody without an accent, so that's very helpful for me.
I had to give up a career in broadcasting to serve humanity in medicine.
All right.
No accent at all.
No accent whatsoever. All right, so today we're going to talk about an article. The lead author is Choo, C-H-O-O, and this was published in 2018, and it was in the British Medical Journal, and the title is Food Sources of Fructose-Containing Sugars and Glycemic Control, Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of Controlled Studies. And what they did is they assessed the effects of different types of food sources on fructose-containing sugars on glycemic control. So it was a meta-analysis, is what
right.
I'm saying. And what they found is that when you're substituting foods and you're using whole fruits and such, people either did as well or better when they substituted whole fruits for other types of foods, you know, less healthier things. But when people consume sugar-sweetened beverages and sometimes even fruit juices, metabolically,
right,
sometimes they didn't do as well. So I guess I'm going to ask you, what's the lesson here?
Yeah, I think the lesson really is that it is not generally a good idea to consume fruit juice or sugar-sweetened beverages of any kind. Our ancestors ate fruit whole, which is kind of what I always tell my patients. This is what your DNA is adapted to. They weren't squeezing it into a glass.
That's right.
And adding carbonation and so forth to it. So it doesn't surprise me that this study came to the conclusion that adding in fructose in the form of drinks was not a good idea. It impaired glycemic control and raised insulin level, particularly when it was above and beyond the calories you were currently consuming.
But you hear a lot of people that think if it's fruit juice, got to be healthy.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. I don't have a problem with someone eating fruit instead of something else in their diet. I suppose I might not would be okay with that. If their hemoglobin A1C was 10 and their fasting blood sugar was 400, I might have them restrict it for a while. But for the most part, eating fruit in place of something else is probably a really good idea. And I believe these authors when they say, well, it had a positive effect on either the hemoglobin A1C, the fasting blood glucose, or the fasting insulin.
Well, because fructose got a low glycemic index.
For sure it does.
Right.
Right. You throw it in with the fiber.
That's a very good point.
So it's, it's to some extent like adding some cardboard to the fructose. You know,
I'm not sure I characterize it that way.
In terms of the taste, terms of how your stomach has to, intestines have to break it down to get it to an absorbable form. And that really keeps the glycemic index lower, right?
That's right.
So you don't get this big rise in the blood sugar and therefore in the insulin, which seems to be kind of a path that leads us to the wrong place.
Right. And look, it's the analogy I like to make is the same thing with like vitamins. I don't know where people got the idea that if you just took vitamins and extracted it from a food and concentrated it and you put it in a capsule or a pill, that somehow that's better than the food for which it originated. And I think we find more and more data, science that supports that, yes, there may be some benefits with regard to vitamins and such, but almost invariably it's those benefits are found when it's incorporated within its original food.
Okay. I agree with that. Vitamins are a great business proposition for someone. If you eat whole food, you won't have to spend your money on that, though.
Right. And you might actually get the health benefits, too.
That is correct.
Right, and avoid maybe even some toxicities and such. So with regard to this study here, so let's just take a practical example. You got a patient comes to you, and they've heard about fruit juices, because we're not the only folks that have talked about this, not the only folks that have read this article, and they've heard that fruit juice is maybe not such a right thing to do, and they're asking you, they're in a weight management program, you're trying to get, say they've already lost weight, but you're trying to maintain weight maintenance, and at the end of the meal, they ask you a very simple question. So Wickham, they ask you, is it okay instead of eating some of these other desserts and such, is it okay if I can just have fruit? What do you say to these folks?
I tell them yes. At the end of the meal, I mean, particularly at that point.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, your protein and fat and so forth and fiber, let's say you ate some vegetables with that meal.
Yeah.
All that's in your digestive tract, and that's, you're going to put the fruit in on top of that, and the chance that it's going to have a significant impact in terms of a rise in your blood sugar and insulin, I don't buy it. It hardly ever does.
No, not in a mixed meal.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
So, in terms of the total glycemic load, if you will, this is no harm or offense here. You know, I would much rather them do that than try to have something sweet like a can of Coke or,
Or the fruit juice.
Or the fruit juice, right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, I don't generally discourage that. Again, it would take a patient who's having very poor glycemic control because they had out of control type 2 diabetes, for example, and then and only then might I have a person restrict all forms of sugar in their diet for a while until that came out of control.
So you would just do this on a transient basis, but
But I mean, look, 99% of my patients is fine.
That's right.
To have the fruit after the meal,
and I think consuming the fructose in a form for which it has the natural fibers for which it was intended to take at the same time, we call that fruit.
Yes, correct. That's right.
That's what
fruit is, right?
That's what fruit is.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I mean, I often wondered if there was some sort of technology company that could say, okay, we got this great idea. We're going to have this synthetic food, and it's going to have fiber, and it's going to have fructose, and it's going to taste sweet, but it's going to have fiber, so it's going to diminish satiety and stuff, and we'll wrap it in an orange wrapping, organic wrapping, and we'll charge $20, and we're going to call it an orange. That's
right.
What we're going to call it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when we get that, I mean, it's natural, right?
Right. You can get it for a lot less than $20 at the produce section at your local grocery store.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that just because something is natural, that automatically makes it healthier.
Right.
But I am saying for edible fruits, that's absolutely the case, in my judgment. I mean, what's your sense?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I don't think America's problem is that we're consuming too much fruit, right?
Right.
I've always said this.
Right,
yeah, right. I mean, you look at the grand scheme of all of our health problems, and it's hard to look and say, well, the fruit here, eating whole fruit is really what's killing us all. No, it's things like those sugar-sweetened beverages and fruit juice. This is much more likely to be the culprit of the things that make us sick.
So the bottom line is this. According to this article, if you add fruit juices, if you add fruit juices on top of what you're already consuming, does that improve or potentially worsen a person's metabolic health?
It worsens their metabolic health. Yeah, if they add it on top and they're not substituting, I would definitely say that myself and anybody I know who practices obesity medicine would tell you that that worsens your metabolic health.
Okay. And again, we're not anti-fruit. I think we've been pretty clear.
That's right.
We're pro-fruit, and maybe there's some fruit juices for some folks where it's okay. But when you're adding calories onto somebody for which, as I think we've talked about, where we're trying to engage in weight loss maintenance and such, I mean, sometimes you got to make some choices, and sometimes an okay choice is to not have sugar drinks, right, added to what you're already doing.
That is the take-home point.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Okay. Well, Wickham, thank you very much for being here.
Harold, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Simons. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcast and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.